Okay, we can pray, no, for asking God to help us to understand better His plan, His love for us, and that we open more our hearts. I mean, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yes, Mary, and we pray to her in the advocation of Our Lady of Guadalupe to help us to be humble as she is. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, today's feast here in the United States, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So we continue trying to go deeper in the spiritual exercises to understand them better. The last day was very important because I gave the first meditation of St. Ignatius. I am afraid always of giving it. Sometimes I don't give in the spiritual exercises because the people are so weak, I will say, that they create problems in their hearts and in their thinking. And I know it, I mean, because it's going against our sensuality, our attachment, and our desires. And these men know that. They were not confused there. You know, the meditation of St. Ignatius, the principle and foundation, that is the first meditation of the spiritual exercises after the introduction, that is what we were the last day. So it's very simple. Is we are created for a goal, no? The this is better. There is not. Okay. We are created for a goal, and the goal is the union with God. This is the goal of our existence. Or this is the end, you can say, of our lives. And so it's the meaning of everything. Everything that God has created is for that goal. Everything is everything. And when He created with this. The intention of God, the intention, as you know, is the first thing. The intention is about the end, or the purpose. It's about the end. It's the first in the will of the person who does something. And it's the last that is achieved. You put your intention. I want to, to learn to play piano. That is the first in your intention. Now you have to do 1,000 things for learning piano. So many. But the intention is the first. And that was the intention when God created this universe and everything that He has created. The union with His Ignatius put in another word that is praising God. We are created, man is created, for praising God, being reverent, and serve God and our neighbors. This is the same thing. I mean, it's the way we get the union with God. Giving thanks, being humble in our body, that is reverence, and serving others, that is charity. It's the same thing. But it's the goal. It's more concrete here. And so now all the other things that are in your life, all the other things, all the other situation, all the other circumstances, whatever is going to be in your life, whatever, is created by God for the goal. Whatever. The moment of your death, your sickness, your whatever in your life, in the plan of God, is for the union with Him. So, consequence.
All the other things are created for the goal. So in the plan of God are for the goal. But now we have to choose. And that is what is all choosing. It's all about the spiritual exercise. It's about choosing. Spiritual life is about choosing. We need to choose. Why? Because we are humans. What makes us humans is that we choose. Makes the difference with animals. We choose. And now all the other things are kept. So we have to use. Choosing is about using things. For what? For the goal. We don't choose the goal. We choose the means. I'm not going to explain that. It's more about morals. But it's important to understand that. I mean, we don't choose the goal. We establish the goal, and now we choose the means for getting the goal. That is in every human action. I want to build a house. That is the goal. And now I choose the 1,000 things for the goal. So there is always something that is the goal, that is a good. Good and end are the same thing, have the same reason. So an end is a good. And I put my intention and my will there, and now all the other things are for that. So I have to use the things according how they help me to the goal. So simple as that. I mean, whoever it has. So there is a goal. All the things are created for that. Now God has given me a free will for going toward the goal. So I have use the things that help me to go to the goal for getting there. And the things that don't let me to go to the goal, get rid of them. I mean, it's so simple to understand. I think that nobody has any problem for understanding that. The problem comes now. The problem comes when we have to talk about how we can get there. But the thing is very simple. I have to use the things and refuse the things that are not for the goal, that are a hindrance for getting to the goal for which I have been created. Some doubt about this? The doubts are coming now. But for this, everyone understands this. I mean, it's very simple. That I have to use the things that bring me to what? This is happiness. This is the fulfillment of all your desires. This is the fulfillment of everything in your life. It's the same thing. It's the goal. Yeah. But now I have to choose there. So, according to St. Ignatius, because he knows the situation in which we are now, we have, in whatever is not matter or mortal sin, and that I don't have already a commitment that is part of my life, I have to make myself indifferent. So, indifference is not that I don't care, no. Because I want the goal, everything that is other thing, if I am not detached, if I am not indifferent, when things happen, I am going to have problems for making the choice for using it for the goal. And that is what St. Ignatius talks. Indifference in what? And that is the problem. In poverty, in richness, or poverty? In honor, dishonor. In long life or short life. And the other is health or sickness or health. And I will say here, for making more broad and more wide and more understandable, suffering or pleasure. No one is indifferent by nature in these things. All of us, we are here. And at least me. Not you. We want richness, we want honor, we want long life, and we want that nothing happened to me. Never. No? I mean, that is our nature, our sensuality and our worldly desires. But saying nature that wants to find one thing that is the will of God. Because in the will of God now, for getting there, the way is the will of God. And the will of God is whatever is happening in my life, my circumstances in my life, I need to choose for getting there. If I have my heart attached to richness, I'm going to have a lot of problems for getting rich. And you know the expression of Jesus in Luke 14, at the end of the chapter, and I say to you, whoever doesn't renounce to all his possessions cannot be my disciple. And it's not a physical renounce, it's a spiritual renounce. And that is tough. But this is the only way of when things happen about money, I don't get upset or angry or frustrated or I lose charity. That is what happened. The same with honor. If we are not in the disposition of having humiliations, nothing is going to work in our lives. Why? Because every day we have humiliations. Why Mary chose this man that is called Juan Diego? You know how Mary called him? The humblest of my children. That is the reason Mary chose this man. The humblest of my children. I mean, and he was truly, I mean, and he said to her, why don't you choose other person? I am the most insignificant person. Why are you choosing me? He was upset he was like, I mean, they are not going to pay attention to me. I am an insignificant person. And you haven't read the dialogue between Mary and Juan Diego. It's amazing. The tenderness, the kindness, the loving of her to him. But what is more surprising to me is him with her. Called Mary my little niña. My pequeña niña. It's like my little girl. I mean, it's a tenderness in the dialogue of this man with Mary. It's amazing. And Mary with him. What is that? I mean, why? Because, I mean, we have... Every day, and when my homily today was, every day you have more than 40 humiliations. Are you accepting them? Or you are getting in pride? Because the humiliations is the only way of growing in humility. Don't think in weird things, but think in, and this is not about what is going to happen. St. Ignatius don't care about what is going to happen. He cares about how he does the will of God. That's what he cares. And so he don't understand that if I don't make myself indifferent, when anything happen of these matters, I'm going to get upset or angry or anguish or anxiety, and I'm going to, what is God doing in my life? And I'm going to leave the plan of God. And that reason they make the decisions. I mean, in this, you know, this is possessions, prestige, pleasure, and I mean, the four P's are there. So this there, I mean, for what? For getting to the union with God, the quicker, the better. That is the reason these men do everything. And the reason he makes saints through these choices. Why? Because he's not talking about what is going to happen. He's talking about you making choices for making yourself indifferent before God. So you are not indifferent. You love so much God with all your heart, all your strength, all your being, and all your soul, that you don't put anything that can separate you from God, and you know that can separate you from God because has done that before, as you know. I don't let to put it before. So I make myself doing against my sensuality. And St. Ignatius, about this topic, talk several times. Why? Because spiritual exercises are for what? Who knows for what are spiritual exercises? For taking away what? Disorder attachments or disorder affections. That is the goal of spiritual exercises. So I can find the will of God in everything and I can be holy because the will of God is your holiness. The will of God is the only good that exists in the universe. The problem is that because this kind of selfish society and environment that we have, we think that can be any other happiness in other place that is not the will of God. I mean, it's because we think very little or we don't believe in God. Why? Because the will of God is infinite power, love, mercy, kindness, wisdom, intelligence. Everything that is in the universe is what it is because it's coming from the divine will of God. You have some kind of intelligence, that is because God has given you that. If some people have some kind of beauty, it's because God has given that beauty to them. If some thing has some pleasure, it's because God has created that pleasure. In His will are all these things and infinite more. But we don't look for the will of God. Why? Because that is original sin. It's putting my will in place of the will of God. And now the saints understand that, and they want to finish with that. Today, meditation is less tough than this, the thing, but it's understandable, no? At least it's understandable why they do these things, the saints. And that now they choose, and you see in the meditation, you have done the spiritual exercises, how they are concrete meditation that Saint Ignatius got to the thing of choosing poverty. And to the, if Jesus put actual poverty, affective poverty, and if he wants me to receive in a life of following him, for example, those who are here, marriage cannot happen that because it's not effective poverty, not only affective poverty. Affective poverty is necessary for every Christian, for being Christian. You cannot be a Christian if you don't have an affective poverty. That is a detachment of the goods of this world. I insist, this is about the heart, this is not about what is going to happen. I don't know what is going to happen because I know I am not God. I don't have a divine providence that rules my life. I know that there are going to happen things in my life that wherever they are, I mean, maybe honor, dishonor, I don't know. But I know that every day I have humiliations. The humiliation of getting older every day, the humiliation of dying. But are we going to accept these things? If I am here, never. And that reason, people, instead of growing in humility, so in action of God in them, so in truth, they grow in pride. And they blind themselves and they block themselves to the action of God. And the same with the others. I mean, because we are in a society that is totally obsessed with health issues. Totally obsessed. Yeah, whatever happened. I mean, there have been 1,000 years people living without this obsession that we have, that the physicians, of course, are promoting, are fostering every day. So, because for them it's money. And a lot of money, because this means a lot of money. Yeah, you know, that they are. But I insist that the point is understanding this is important for our life, because now it's my heart. It's not what is going to happen. If I have the disposition of poverty, if I have something that is not having enough money, I am not going to get in anxiety or fear or insecurity. No, I accept it because the Son of... And these four things, have this clear, were chosen by the eternal Son of God for his life. That is the greatest reason for the sense of choosing them. It's not that they bring me to the will of God. It's not for them. It's the love of Jesus. And they wanting to configure their life with Jesus. Trying to identify, Christify themselves, becoming as Jesus. That is the greatest reason for all saints. What? Wanting identification with Christ. And in what he chose, they want. There is a meditation that we maybe in the future we see it. But it's a meditation of Saint Ignatius. That is the three degrees of humility. That is the three degrees of love. It's the same thing. For Saint Ignatius, humility and love is the same thing. For many saints, for Santa Teresa of Avila also, something so. Why? Because only the humble can love. Because only there is humble, because we understand love as a feeling and an emotion. No. Love is serving the others. That is love. Love is serving the others. When you don't want to serve, you don't love anyone except yourself. That is what Jesus came to teach us, no? To serve the others. To give others. Why? Because when you serve other person, you help that person in the way that, I mean, you know, the Pope is called servant of servants. Now, how he servis servorum, the servant of all servants. That is the title. And the deacon is a servant. The ministry of the deacon is serving. And the priest is the same, and for with you Christians, for you priest, but priest is for serving the community. So the problem is that we have created an idea, a romantic idea about what is love that doesn't work, of course, because that love doesn't exist, only in the movies and in the books, and it's in the songs. But it's a idealization of the relationship with God. I mean, in serving is love, and there is union. I mean. So, what I with these men make all the choices for coming to God. That is what we have to understand. And the spiritual exercise in the mind of Saint Ignatius, because that is a meditation that he wrote later, the principle and foundation, is a meditation that for him is like explaining the meaning of the spiritual exercises. And it's all about choices. So there is, in the middle of the book, there is a part that that is all about making choices in life, especially for the state of life, for the vocation that we have, that God is calling us, that essentially for that. But there are also in other matters, choices. Ignatius, every time that he was going to make a choice in his life important, he went to prayer and he tried to discern before God what was the best choice. Asking God light and asking, pondering the different aspect and waiting. This man was open to God, waiting that God gives some kind of consolation so I can know what he wants me to do. And he pondered the things in that way. I mean, but I insist that is a way this man, but it's very important to understand this, because the only way of coming with God is facing the attachments that we have. Because the point of these four things is that in some moments of our life, in certain circumstances, we can put them before God. And if we put them before God, we are losing God. I mean, always we can go back, of course, but because God is there, then, and that is. So I invite you to make in this, when a person asks me, well, Father Armando, how I know that my prayer is good? Because you are growing here. Not in your life, you are growing in the four things that I understand. In poverty, humility, embracing crosses, I'm facing that. I can explain how here are the four most important human problems. Why? Because they are all about facing my death, not that. I mean, because these things, you cannot face them by human reason. Only through faith you can open to them. Open through faith, you can understand that the Son of God has chosen poverty for enriching us. He made himself poor for making us rich. You know, it's an expression of St. Paul. Because God, in the moment you put your richness in other places, you are losing the richness of God. And material richness are selfish always, because you cannot share them with others. Spiritual richness that you can share with others. And when you share, they grow. Is the difference with the spiritual goods and material goods. When you are humble and you share, or wise and you share your wisdom with other person, you are growing in wisdom. You don't lose anything. In material things, yes, if I have $100 and I give you 50, I have lost 50% of my money. No, it's obvious. In spiritual things, no. And that is the thing, I mean, this is poverty. Humility is because, I mean, our biggest problem we have is pride. It's our ego thinking, and trying to defend ourselves instead of accepting the truth of what we are and what we can and the limitations we have. I mean, I see it constantly. I am in marriage prep. I have been a long time. And the problem of marriage prayer is a problem of pride. I mean, it's a problem that they think that they are going to make each other happy. But they don't know their weakness. They don't know their limitations. They don't know their pride. They don't know their vanity. They don't know their lack of generosity. They don't know their lack of patience. They don't know these things. How you are going to make another person happy? No? But everyone thinks that when they are going to get married. I mean, because it's part of the falling in love. Because the absence of God, because when a person has God, is humility. And no, I am not going to be deceived thinking that I am going to make the other happy. I know that this is the way of God toward happiness, what marriage, but not that we are going to make each other happy. I mean, that is crazy. That, in my opinion, that is original sin, or at least part of original sin. But the pretension that a human can make another human happy. I mean, and when I am a 90 and I am with my cane like this, I'm going to make very happy my woman and my wife that I am losing my memory. And I think a little and then make happy other person. But it's there. I mean, it's that thinking of humans that is, but it's connected to humility. Let God always work in us. Always, always, always. The more humble is a person, the more action with God in that person. And the other the same, I mean, it's embracing crosses is because crosses are in life. In heaven there are no crosses. But in this life, if I want to follow me, deny yourself and take your cross. But if I don't face the sufferings of life, how am I going to love? And now we are not able to educate our children, because educating children is educating in virtues. So in fortitude and in temperance. For temperance is controlling their desires, for having greater desires and learning to don't follow selfish desires. And fortitude is facing the trials of life, for not having tantrums, and these children that you see shouting, and when they want something, they get it because their parents always obey them instead of the children obeying their parents. And that is the ruin of education. Why? Because you are there for teaching your children virtues, so that they deny their selfish desires and they open their hearts to the mystery of God. I mean, in the things that are given. Without embracing crosses, there is no patience. And without patience, there is no virtues. Why? Because patience is the virtue that keeps us doing what we have to do in the difficulties of life that are always and every day. Some days we are more tired, whatever. And facing death, the same, because if I am walking toward God and I want the union with God, I am always facing death. Why? Because I want the union with God. You know the expression that is in the Catechism of the Church? I want to see God, and for seeing God, I have to die, Santa Teresa. But I mean, it's obvious. But the problem is that we don't face our life. We are not in a pilgrimage. We don't want Jesus come out to us. I mean, and there's a lot of problems here that the saint understands this, because I have this very clear. We have an affective, emotional level that is very strong. And it's totally here, our sensuality and worldly desires, totally here. The only way of conquering that is making decisions for being here. That was Saint Ignatius, that's very intelligent. He understood and he made them. What happened to him? I don't think that happened very bad things in his life. He died at the age people used to die at that time. He was the founder of the Jesuits, so not many dishonors, no? Poverty, not many poverty, but he has the desires, and he didn't take the desire from his heart. Even he has the founder of the Jesuits, and he was looking for these things, because he was looking for following Jesus, yeah, and any other thing. Some question about this? I mean, it's an important topic for our lives. Now the meditation we are going to have help us to live this in a deeper way. We get the time that we get, but we try to get there. And we try to put this in the context of the meditations we are having, so we understand the things are all connected. Nothing is disconnected in this life, because it's the plan of God for us. And so everything is connected. The first we have done several meditations, and they are about the two desires, no? This is the meditation of God Almighty, the meditation of God Creator, the meditation of living from the love of God. These are about how I am living myself now. There are other meditations that is the desire of happiness. So we put here, who is my God? That is the question of happiness. They are connected. You cannot have this in different places. They are in you and about your things, or they are in God. And this is the point of these two desires. They are very powerful because they are spiritual desires. So spiritual means that only God can fulfill them. And when they are not in God, they put me in the psychological level, in the center of everything. And every one of us is totally self-centered because these desires, desire of being loved and the desire of happiness, that they are not in God. Spiritual life is learning to move these desires. This is the first commandment. So, only in God is happiness, because I love happiness with all my heart, all my strength, all my being, and all my soul. It's the only thing that I love with all my heart, all my strength, all my being, and all my soul. Why? Because my will, your will, is a desire, is in fact, in act. And you cannot avoid that. It's impossible. It's how God has created. It's a desire of only one thing. What? Happiness. And what is happiness? Happiness is that good that is totally capable of fulfilling you in all the dimensions you've been and achieving the fullness of what you can understand. And obviously, the point is that we don't put it in God. But the desire of happiness is a spiritual desire that animals don't have, and the other neither. This desire the animals don't have then. These two desires, one is about being how I, this is about my, how we live reality more, how we are in the present moment, all these things that we have seen more or less. But this, if my desire of being loved is not in God, I live in my head. And nobody can avoid that. It's not difficult, it's impossible. Now you can be a Buddhist and now trying to keep in the present moment. But for that you need to deny all desires and to don't move. If you stay like this, you're a good Buddhist. Why? Because it's the only way of not having desire. Because in the moment I am moving toward here, it's because I have some kind of desire. And according to them, the desires are the cause of suffering. The reason the fullness of a Buddhist is a tree. The reason the Buddha is like a tree. But what I mean, that the only way of stopping these desires is, but they don't stop then in some way. I mean, they can't. It's impossible to stop desires because we move because we have desires. And we do everything because we have desires. So these two desires are ruling our behavior, every human being. And because original sin, they are not in God, in any of us. Only one person from the beginning had them in God. It's called Mary, the mother of God. She has these desires in God, and God was fulfilling her always. And the original sin is breaking our relationship with God as source of love and everything. So as Father, and the other as goal of everything and happiness. In original sin, we take God from here and we put our ego in the center. You will be as God. And now we are pretending to fulfill the desire of being loved and the desire of happiness. Every one of us, I mean, your wife, your husband, your children, everyone is there. Where? Trying to fulfill the desire of being happiness and the desire of love in things that are not God. Spiritual life is a battle for trying to put them in God. Why? Because they are very powerful. They rule human history. I mean, the history of a human person is ruled by these two desires. Everything that a person does is there. All the emotional problems that we have in marriages are all this. It's only this. The desire of being loved, that is out of my relationship with my wife or relationship with my husband, and the desire of happiness, that I think that with other person I'm going to be happy. And these are all the problems of marriage. But they are the problems of the education, because the problem of education is the desire of being loved, that is in the children in relationship with the parents. But how they are opening that desire to God is how they help the child to grow and mature. So every human situation is here, and every one of us is this. Is selfishness itself. this desire when it's not in God. But I don't have it in God. Maybe you don't have it totally. The desire of prestige, the desire of honor, the desire of they recognize me, the desire they value me, the desire they consider me, and all a lot of things are good. They are not good or bad. The problem is when they are not, this is putting me in the center of everything. Because my desire of being loved now is in the world. And now, how the others see me, how they appreciate me, and all these things. I mean, you look to all the media are trying to move people and manipulate people by this desire. All the media. And the psychological influence that the politicians and those who are in power has in people is moving the desire. If you don't accept LGBT, you are a fanatic, you are homophobic, and they begin to, so you think, oh, they are not going to accept me. And so the people begin to change their minds for thinking according to what they want then us to think. And they get it. Because one of the biggest problems is that you want to be accepted. That is part of this desire. And being wanted. And they don't think that you are different than the others. That you are a weird person, you are a bad person. That is what they manipulate people. I mean, thousands, millions of people are manipulated every day by the desire of being loved. You look every advertisement that you watch in TV is trying to move this or this in you, in some way. You have this, they are going to look you. They are going to have pretty hair. And this hair is going to move with the wind and it's going to be so soft and so precious that every man will look you. And that, all the other things. I mean, why? Because they are very strong. And they affect all levels of our humanity. So what I want to understand is this desire that was our desire, the relationship with our parents, is selfishness itself. Because until 12, we have eaten our parents. Our parents are there for opening to God. The reason they are saints, that are saints very quickly, because they learn to open that desire to God. And they don't put it in the world. The reason they are saints, that are people, children who were saints. Why? That's the only way is living as a child of God, is living from the love of God, and not putting that desire in the world. And they accept me, they want me, they don't care. It's not that they are, I am bad now. No, they are holy, they are good. They are not looking for that. They are looking for God. And so at 12, that desire put me in the center of everything because I'm putting it in my parents was good because it was giving my parents what? The power for educating me. No? Because if I depend on their love, I depend on their approval, I depend on how they treat me, I depend on all these things, that is given then the power of education. But God gives that power until 12. After is no power. You know, the problems I had with my parents when I was after 12, and probably you and your children with you. They begin to have more problems. If they are more open to God, less problems. But if they are not open to God, a lot of problems. And now, this why? Because that desire is not in you. It's in the world. If it is not in God, it has to be in some place because it's a desire that is spiritual. So now it's in the psychological level and ruling my behavior before the others. And from there now are coming all the problems and the fears people have after 12, that is adolescence and that post-puberty, that is the fear of not being accepted. Children have a lot of fear of not being accepted or not being considered. And that reason now they try to find ways that they can be successful in society. Maybe playing some sport, maybe good in studies, maybe other things. And some of them get very obsessive there. But it's all for the desire of being loved. It's very strong, I mean. This desire is childish. Why? Because it's a desire of a child. And when it is not in God, I'm putting it in the world as a child. And it's immature. Is there a reason of immaturity in people? And it's there, I mean, in everyone. what we can do? What we can do is what is about salvation. Salvation is opening this desire to God. That, and faith is for that. Faith for, is for crucifying my ego with all the desires that it has that are coming from the desire of being loved and putting that desire in God. So living as a child of God. And how I do that? Because this desire is working in you as it's working in me every day. And these other the same. How can I do that? Now opening this desire to God in the things that are separating me from God. Because these things that separate me from God are different. The desire of being loved, we talk about that and we are not going to repeat it, is the root of the seven capital sins or deadly sin. And it's there. What can I do with this desire? If it's deeply grounded and has go from childhood pervading my affective, emotional, and everything. The only thing that I can do now is learning to open it to God. Learning that God loves me there, where you are. With your desire, but I have to recognize it, how it's working in me, that is the problem. I need to recognize the power of this desire in my actions, in my behavior, in my thinking, in my feelings, in my emotions, and now wanting to solve it. Eh? And how I can solve a desire of being loved? Only one way, only one. Opening it to the source of love, that is the heart of Jesus. That is the mercy of God. Because the problem of this desire is selfishness. But God knows my selfishness. God knows my pride. God knows my vanity. And he knows these things, I will say eternally. He knows everything. So he has no problem with these things. The seven capital sins, my greediness, my sensuality, my lust, my he knows everything. But now I need to know then, that is what is called humility. But humility can be only before the mercy of God. It's understanding that he loves me here, that I don't need to bring nothing good to God. I need to bring to God what? What he has come to do, what? To heal those who are sick and to save those who are sinners. But here is only one problem, that I don't want to know. This can be the only problem that in a spiritual life can happen. I don't want to know. Because I don't want to know my poverty, my lack of love, and these things. And God, spiritual life is a process of wanting to know who, how I love, who I am, what are my capacities, what is my real love. Why? Because there is a fountain that is open, that was open from the beginning, but now because original sin and other consequences that has had in our life, we are close to him, and now we need to learn to open it to him. And that's what is called faith and hope. Faith and hope are about the mercy of God, because all is about the mercy of God. All is about the love God has for sinners. And as St. Paul says, I am the greatest of all. Why? Because, I mean, everyone can know his. I mean, here the thing is that God let this happen so that everyone being in a sin and a sinful behavior for having mercy of everyone. So nobody can boast of anything. You know, the expression of St. Paul is not mine. It's in Romans 3:23, and I think in 32 again. But in Romans 3, essentially, is when he talked about this. I mean, and his letters are about that, about faith. What? Faith in what? In what we believe as Christians. In Jesus. That is what we believe as Christians. In the one who was crucified and resurrected. Because these men didn't have the Bible as we have the Bible for reading the Bible. They know that God has come and has died and rise from the dead. It's the only thing that they know. And now the Holy Spirit is working in those who believe in that love of God for sinners. And they want to open their hearts to whatever it is in my heart, because he knows it. God knows exactly what is in your heart. And he loves you with an infinite love that is his Son crucified. That is the mercy of God. The problem here is only one, as you can understand, is that I can't refuse his mercy. Maybe I don't want, in these things that are coming from my desire of being loved, I don't want to open them to love. They are slaveries. Everyone has some kind of addictions, of slaveries, or attachment that are harming that person, but can be so strong that I don't want to open them. And God is not asking us anything. He's asking us, come to my love. That is the only thing he's asking us. That come to my tenderness and my kindness for you. I can change everything. But I need that you want. That you want what? To come to the truth of who we are and what we have. I know that this is a big problem, what I am saying, because it's a huge thing. This is salvation. So many people get upset with me when I talk about the mercy of God. Because the mercy of God, the object of the mercy of God, is only one. Is my misery. Because mercy and misery are totally connected. It's my weakness, it's my poverty, it's my sinfulness, it's my desire of being loved that is in me, and now becomes one day pride, other day vanity, other day anger, other day impatient, other day lust, other day, and it's there, and it's working. Why? Because I have not yet put it totally in God and in his love for me. But how I put it? In the things that are happening. If I want him, the question is, do I want God? Do I want to come to his love? Do I want him to make me a saint? Do I want him to transform my life? Because it's all action of him. It's not an action that you can make it. It's his love, it's his mercy, all his grace. Because all is free action of God without any reason. Only one, that I believe in his love. Where? In the wounds that I have. In my own wounds. Everyone has his own. I mean, I have mine, you have yours. And everyone has his own wounds of life and things that I have done. But he's there for what? For healing, for restoring, for, this is the expression of what Jesus came to do. This is the mission of Jesus. And Jesus, in Luke 4, this is the 17. To 20 something, is when Jesus proclaimed why he has come. It's not that other is saying what is the mission of Jesus. No, it's Jesus proclaiming his mission before the apostles that probably were there and the people of Israel. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found, so he looks for, the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That means the meaning of the Messiah. The Messiah is the one who brings the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." So he has made me Messiah, because that means anointed. He's saying that to the people before him that were in expectation 2,000 years of the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus is announcing what is his mission and for what. Who is him? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." First thing is the glad tidings are for the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight of the blind." He's talking about the spiritual things. As you can understand, he's not talking about physical things. He's talking about the power and the action of God for healing. "And let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." I mean, it's there. But where is that he has come for those who are well? It's all about the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed, and action of God that is accomplished. It's his mission. He's proclaiming his mission for what he has come to the world. For what? For healing, for restoring, for freeing. From what? For the things that are inside us. I mean, the external things are nothing. The whole problem is inside us. It's in our hearts. Because if I have fullness inside, everything is in fullness. If God works in me, look San Francis of Assisi. I mean, a man on fullness, where? In his heart. Look San Teresa of Avila. Look San John of the Cross. Where was the fullness? The fullness was in their hearts. The things external, they don't care much. San Maximilian Kolbe, Santa Teresa of the, whoever saint, the fullness is inside. Why? Because they have led Jesus to be their, the one who liberate them from their slavery, the Redeemer and their Savior. That is the way and the meaning of the word Jesus. But we are called to open here, every one of us. We can live only of the mercy of God. For me, the high, big problem that is here and tough problem is that we are in a society that is all, I have to be perfect. And that is what how the schools are working. And the children some of them, they are stressed out and with problems of anxiety because they cannot be perfect. But this there is a society that is creating then a kind of, you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be, you have to be yourself. You have to be a good person, but not perfect. Perfectionism is about this. That is not in God. And now, because I am not living from the love of God, now I need that the other thing from me, that I have no defects, that I have no problems, that I am perfect. And that is not real in any human person. So it's a big lie. The craving for perfectionism and the craving for being triumphant in life and doing everything right and without mistakes and that is crazy, I mean, because it's something that don't exist in every human being. But it's the way they educate us, so it's the contrary of mercy. Not we get the point here and the problem that this is in society. Because now how our children are going to know God if the only way of knowing God is mercy. The only way of knowing God is mercy. There is any other way. It's Jesus Christ. That is the incarnation of the mercy of God. You can read I have talked about that, but you can read it. It's the encyclical of John Paul II, Rich in Mercy. It's amazing. But how all is about Jesus, but Jesus who is? Jesus is the personification and the incarnation of the mercy of God. He has come for that, for teaching us the mercy, the love God has for whom? For sinners. For the weak, for the poor, for the little, for those who are in need of love, but who is not in need of love in this world? Who has no wounds in this world? Who has no pride or vanity or anger or loss? Who has not that in this world? Everyone has that. So he has come to save everyone. What? How? Pouring love in us, giving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is upon me. I have been anointed. And you know, this Sunday, what is the announcement of John the Baptist? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I mean, but why? Because he has come for that, for bringing us to what? But who is the Holy Spirit? It's the person who is love in the Holy Trinity. It's the communion of love between the Father and the Son. And it's the one who fulfilled the human heart, how? Pouring the greatest human need, that is the need of love. Because in the moment a person is not living from the love of God, a lot of problems are there. And we are called to live from the love of God. They are children of God, those who are moved by the Holy Spirit. But for that, I need to open everything that is contrary to love to God. So knowing myself and becoming humble and knowing the mercy of God with me, now I can be merciful as my Father is merciful. That is the whole thing in the scripture. Be merciful as you find. Instead of being judgmental, that is the natural way of being humans, because all of us are judgmental, and we excuse ourselves very easy and accuse the others very easy. Christian life, exactly the contrary. Exactly the contrary. Why? Because living from the mercy of God is accusing myself, because I have no problems for accusing myself before the mercy of God, because I know his love for me, and excusing the others because I don't know nothing about the others and what is their life and what is happening in their hearts and what is their story. I know mine, and I know how unfaithful I have been to God and how many times I have failed to his love and to my commitment with him. But I don't know the others. So when a person is coming to the mercy of God, what he's learning is mercy, is compassion for the others. And more a person is in the mercy of God, more compassionate is with the other. But the whole scripture is about that, about mercy. Because a God that has revealed his mercy in the Old Testament with a people who were unfaithful, and you know, and the two words that are in the Old Testament about mercy, let me see. These two words are, one is Rahamin, and the other is Chesed. You want to go in deep and understand them better than I'm going to explain them, go to the Encyclical of John Paul II, because talk about that. How the mercy of God is revealed in the Old Testament, essentially through these two words. Chesed is faithfulness. It's a word that at the beginning was a more contract. It's a contract because you know the covenant for the Jewish was, okay, you do this, I do this. But the problem is that they are constantly failing to the covenant with God. You accomplish my commandment, I will be your God. You know that is there in, from Moses. You read the Exodus. It's all about that. If you do my commandments, I will be your God. But what is happening? That they fail and they fail continually. And God stopped loving them? No. God used 2,000 years for revealing that he's faithful. That even you don't love me, I love you. That even you are unfaithful to me, I am faithful to you. That even you crucify me, I continue loving you. No. So the revelation of God, this word, Chesed, is the dimension of God in the dimension of I cannot deny myself. And so the people of Israel in the Psalms and in the prophets, they begin to ask God for your own name, for whom you are. I mean, you know the Psalm 51, that is one expression of the mercy of God. But it's a lot in a lot of places. When you are praying or reading the Bible, you go there, you will see how it's everywhere. That praying to God, not because I am good, not because you are good. And you are love. And you love me. Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness, in your abundant compassion. Blot out my offense. He's not asking because I am. No, no, no. He's leaning on the love of God. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in your abundant compassion. Blot out my offense. Wash away all my guilt from my sin. Cleanse me. For I know my offense, so I recognize what I am doing. I don't refuse it, I don't reject it. Against you alone have I sinned. I have done such evil in your sight, that you are just in your sentence, blameless when you condemn. True, I was born guilty, a sinner, even as my mother conceived me. He's talking, John 5 of the church talk about the original sin. Still, you insist on sincerity of heart. In my inmost being, teach me wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop, you know, the things that you use for the water. Hyssop. That I may be pure. Wash me. Make me whiter than snow. It's all asking him, an action of him, renew my heart. But it's not founded in nothing. It's founded all in his goodness and in his mercy that is there. And there are a lot of psalms that eternal is your love. And translation of sometimes is eternal is your mercy. You are faithful forever. I mean, the revelation of God is revelation of his mercy. That is revelation of God. He has revealed his mercy. So the love for sinners, not the love for those who are good or they are righteous. And yesterday was the good shepherd who goes to seek the sheep that is lost. And it's more joy, but in heaven and in the heart of God, for one sheep that let Jesus find her or him and bring him in love to his heart, that for those who think that they are righteous. You know, that is repeated in Luke 15 three times. Why? Because I have come to save sinners, not those who are righteous. And those who are righteous in the Bible, before Jesus, are the Pharisees. And those who think that they are righteous. And they lean on their works. They lean on what they do. They lean on how good they are. And in God, that for Jesus, that was the worst situation. Jesus has no problem with sinners. He has problem with whom? With those who think that they are righteous. I mean, it's clear the point. It's very important in your life and in your relationship with God and in mine. I mean, God loves you and loves you as you are. You need to be righteous with God. The God is my righteousness. He's him who makes us righteous. It's him who gives us his graces. It's him who gives us his mercy. Why? Because in the moment you are pretending without him to get something, your ego is taking his place. You know, I don't know if we understand the point. And the problem that is here is not a problem that is for one human. It's for the whole humanity. In the moment a person is not living from God, so opening to God and his love, this desire is ruling his behavior or her behavior. And now she's putting her ego in the first place. And every one of those is there because it's original sin. It's not. And now we need to open it to God. What? To open to God, to his mercy and to his love for us. So for what? So we can conquer. What? The thing that we, by ourselves, we can't do by ourselves. Any question about this? As you can understand, is the key of everything. What? The mercy of God, the love God has for sinners. That is the key of everything. And we are called to bring that love of God to the people. That is the announcement of the gospel. It's the love of God. It's not about how you have to be good. No. You have to recognize that you are not good so God can make you good. So God can change you. That is the good news. The good news is that there is a God that can change the things because he's almighty. The one who is mercy is almighty. He's power and he's love and can fulfill our desires if we open them to him, because the problem of these desires, I insist, is that they are close to God. And being close to God, now our affective level is here, where? In the desire of being loved and in the desire of happiness. Why people keep resentment and wounds that they have done then 5 years ago, or 25 years ago, or 40 years ago? Or 3 years ago, why they keep the things? Because those things were against love. And because they wounded me, my desire of being loved, and the person who was called to love me didn't love me, now I keep that, and I keep that, and I go back, and I go back, and I come back, and I never go out. Why? Because instead of opening this, because I understand the wounds of people, but instead of keeping that, why? Who can give you love now? Who can open these wounds that you have inside you? Only the mercy of God, only the love of God can do that. And there are so many people in this society with these kind of problems. In all the world, and it's not only here, I mean, it's everywhere. The abuses in family are everywhere. I have been everywhere. I was very lucky because I was, for a while, when I was in Washington, D.C., working with the Missionaries of Charity, and they were I deceived them, and so they were moving me, giving retreats around the world, and I went up to a lot of places. And I mean, the problems are everywhere. This is very clear. India, Ethiopia, South America, Asia, wherever you go. It's a huge problem. Why? Because this is the problem, these desires that are everywhere and are in our relationships. So how we can resolve this problem? This problem is called salvation, because God came to save us, came to resolve the problem of our hearts, because we need love. And I insist, in prayer, it's about opening to His mercy, it's opening to His love. I mean, you go to prayer and you are not opening to His mercy, I mean, maybe it's not a good prayer. Because more you open to the mercy of God, and more you understand His love for you, less problem you have in a spiritual life. Because if a person is trying to go further in a spiritual life, there are things that are called dark nights. But you know what is dark night? Is that this ego has to come to light. I understand it and put it in God, in the hands of God, in the mercy of God. More you understand the mercy of God, less darkness. Why? Because more trust you have in His love for you being a sinner. But when I am covering, thinking that I am good and that I am doing the things right, it's very difficult to go in higher levels of spiritual life, in which God wants to teach you your weakness for what? For knowing in truth who you are. And knowing clearly, without me, you can do nothing. And He's there, He loves us, but He's talking about love, but the thing is how I open to His love. All spiritual life is opening to the love of God. That was the first meditation I told last day, but now this meditation clarifies the first meditation. What? This opening to God is opening in His mercy. Because every one of us is sinners. Jesus has come to save sinners. I mean, and every one of us has some level of sin, some level of selfishness, of pride, or vanity. Only the saints that are their ego in the psychological level is totally annihilated. Why? Because they have opened their desire of being loved to God. You know, I live through faith. It's not me who lives. I live for God. I die to the law. I die to my words, to what I do, to focusing in me and putting me in the center of everything and how I am doing the things. That is a way of living. That is everyone is there. I mean, you look to the people and you understand that everyone is there when they are acting. Where? Looking for how I am doing the things for me, and if something don't go wrong, immediately upset or angry. Why? Because it's all looking for me. But here in the plan of God is different. Why? Because He's living from other. And you know the expression of St. Paul. We have talked about that. But it's about His action in you. And that is what is a Christian. I mean, I live, but not I. It's Jesus who lives within me. Because I live through faith. I have crucified myself. What? I have crucified my desires in the world. For what? For living from the love of God. From the one who died, suffered and died for me. So for living from His love, it's a way of living. He says, stop letting the ego, and St. Paul is there in the fullness of the action of God, in whatever he was doing. Why? Because he died to this ego. How? Opening it to the one who died and suffered for me. And St. Paul didn't know Jesus in his life, but he knows that Jesus knows him. That Jesus died for him and Jesus suffered for him. As he died for you and he suffered for you. In a personal, concrete way, not in a general way. Jesus didn't, in general, died for you. No, He died for you. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was crucified for me and for you in a personal, concrete way. That when saints go deeper in the spiritual life, Santa Teresa said, you understand that He was incarnated for you? That He was crucified for you, that He created the Eucharist for you. Why? Because God has not a general love. God has personal love. In His Son, He loved you as a person. And that love for you moved all the plan of creation of God and moved all the plan of redemption for God. It's not that He thought in saving people in general. That is not love, because love is always personal. So what moved God is a personal love to you. In everything that he did. For what? For we open to his love. Because in the moment, if we don't open to his love, the problem is very simple to understand. It's not so simple to resolve. Yeah? Because to understand is not difficult. I mean, and you, if you want to know it, every day only pay attention to what is happening in your heart. What are you thinking? And you will see how the ego is working. If we are paying attention and we are thinking, no, but if you want to know yourself, that is the reason of the guard of the heart, of the silent. Silent is for understanding what are the movements that I am having inside me. For what? For opening them to the love of Jesus. What is separating me from, because these desires, the desire of happiness out of God and the desire of being loved out of God are separating every human being from God constantly. And spiritual life is learning to open them to God. You can connect with all the other meditation, with the why St. Ignatius choose these things and poverty and face these things for taking away this and putting them in God. Because you know, these two desires, we had one meditation for explaining where these two desires are. I mean, we have to go on and understanding the things. These two desires are always here and now. So, or you are putting them in God, in His will, or you are putting them in your head, and in your thinking and your emotional level. And it's impossible any human being in the universe escape from this. Why? Because these desires are not something that you create or you have because you want or you don't want. No, these desires are ruling your existence as a human. And they are acting you want or you don't want. You need love and you are looking for happiness. And this is your very being. It's the way God has created you as a human. So in the moment these desires are not in the will of God, in the present moment, in His divine providence, in that moment they are in your head looking for them outside. As me, as every human being. And that is the reason in the meditation of the love of divine providence, what we understand is that He's the good shepherd. So He's wanting to give life to me in abundance, because that is the mystery of the good shepherd. I came to give you life and live life in abundance. That is what Jesus wants to give you, life in abundance. And now from there, you bear fruit in abundance, so you achieve the happiness that He wants you to achieve. But it's only in His will. And that is what St. Ignatius understood without making the things, but you read the book of Pierre Caussat or whatever saint, or whoever saint, they have only one desire, the will of God. Why? Because in the will of God, this desire is fulfilled, and in the will of God, the desire of happiness, in the way God wants me to achieve it, I achieve it. Why? Because it's the union with God, and that is something that I cannot achieve by myself. It's a gift of God. And the reason they only desire one thing in their lives. Well, and they are the present moment is the same being as being in reality. It's a stop thinking. Your thinking is coming from your desire of being loved and your desire of happiness. And you can see how crazy it is. Why? Because we want love and we want happiness. And that is good. That is good. Because God has put those desires in us. The problem is where we are looking for these things. The problem is not if we are looking for love. God has created us all for living from His love, from the Holy Spirit. He has created us. I mean, love consists in that we don't love, but He gave His Son, so we live from His Son. That is, as I live from the Father, you will live from me. But this is not idea. This is how God wants to work in your heart, in the concrete of your life. And all depends on how you come to the mercy of God. Because in me, and I suppose in others, because I see it and I hear it in the confessionary, I mean, people are constantly going away from God. And the problem, in my opinion, the greatest of all problems, is that the people don't know what is happening inside them. And they come after 3 months. I think the other day I didn't go to Mass because something, whatever. And I think I have twice impure desires, and that is. I get, wow, okay. But Jesus your Savior, or not, I don't say nothing, but I mean, because what are you going to say? Is Jesus your Savior? And you don't need his salvation. What a weird thing, no? So people don't have knowledge on themselves, because from childhood they are accustomed to what? I mean, we talk about that a little. That now, because these desires are not in God, there is a mechanism that is constantly covering up everything. It's called mechanism of defense, mechanism of justification, of mechanism of rationalization. That is a mechanism about lies about myself. It's terrible. And this is the human situation. It's a mechanism about lies, for covering up everything, so I justify myself and I accuse the others. I know very easy the defects of the other and the failures of others, but mine is like, and it's there, I mean, something amazing. Even in people who are Catholic, because I mean, this in the world, I understand it. I mean, because how I am going to feel guilty if I don't know the mercy of God? No? Because I mean, if you don't know the mercy of God and the love God has for you, you are going to feel guilty. And that is horrible. I mean, to feel guilty of something is like the, one of the most painful things that exists. So I need to cover it to escape from it. I cannot be guilty. But a person who believes in the mercy of God, that is what we are Christians, because we believe in that God gave his son for teaching us the love he has for me being a sinner. How am I going now to be covering things? But this is a huge problem, because it's a process. Nobody can get this in this. But what I see is that the mercy of God is the love of God for the weak. So the weaker you are, the more power you have before God. The poorer you are, the more power you have before God. The more sick you are, the more power you have before God. I mean, that is the mystery of God. He has done that for nobody say that he cannot come to God. No. I mean, you know, the examples there for expressing the mercy of God. I mean, imagine a person who is with a gold watch and crocodile shoes and a wonderful dress or whatever kind of these famous men who, how do you call it in English? Fashionists? Those who do fashion and, I mean, imagine a person like that come and ask you some money. Please, can you give me your money? You will say, well, you don't send you Rolex. I mean, but if a person comes and is almost naked and come with two children that are their belly is swallow, I mean, quickly you will take a give them, no? I mean, why? Because the more poor is the person, the quicker you give to that person and more compassion you have with that person. And the same with a sick. You go to the physician and you think, no, I am perfect. I don't have nothing. I am very well. Okay, next. I mean, but if you are bleeding and you are there or with something that you have a big pain, and the physician take care in you. I am a physician. I came to those who are to need to be healed, not those who are healthy. I mean, why? Because God has come for healing and resolving the heart. And I insist that this is the mystery of the mercy of God. The heart of God is more loving the person who is a sinner. This St. Paul talked about that several times, and now he has himself wrote, you know. So now we have to see more. And he almost, more or less, he said, don't say stupid things. I mean, but it's there. That can be the conclusion, no? So God has more mercy for sinners, so I am going to be a greater sinner. I mean, being a little intelligent, because that's what St. Paul says, I mean. But he's talking about that. All St. Paul is talking about, we are saved by faith. What means we are saved by faith? That we are not justified by ourselves, by our actions. We are justified by the mercy of God. That is the meaning of all the letter of St. Paul. But he's saying and repeating and repeating, we are not justified by our actions. We are justified by the mercy of God, by Jesus Christ, by faith, by the love of God. And that love can change everything. Because if not, I am, because of these two desires, now I'm looking to justify myself, to be right, I am good, I am perfect. And no, the contrary is the truth. I mean, the weaker I am, the more powerful I am before God. Why? Because he can work more in me. you know, this beautiful text. I don't want to pass there. Ephesians 2. So we understand that it's a pure gift of God, and there is reason. I mean, I can connect, and we can connect this with the fact of creation. God is the giver of everything to everyone. And are we grateful? If I am more intelligent than other, or I am more money than other, I understand that it's a gift of God? No way. No one. I mean, we don't think that in that way. We don't think that the things that we are a gift. Why I have a better family than others? We think that I am better for having a better family. No, it's a gift of God. Whatever you have in your life is something God has given you, as me, as everyone in the universe. God is the creator. We have to make a meditation for understanding a little what means that God is the creator, that is the giver of everything to everyone. St. Paul repeats that in the Acts of the Apostles in his letters. I mean, and he repeats these things. God is the giver of everything to everyone. But we are pretending that because these two desires now make me pretending that I am and I have things by myself. So God has surrendered everything in the preaching of the mercy of God. I mean, he has come for teaching us. I mean, nobody can boast in anything. This is pure grace. And if somebody pretends to boast, it's in pride. So it's here, no relationship with God. Only the humble who accept that everything is a gift and now understand that there is a greater gift, that is the love of God, and want to be given, can come to faith. Faith, in fact, is coming here. I'm losing all my ears. Faith. No. Faith is only when I accept that everything is a gift. Because faith is for grace. So the goal of faith is not thinking, is not knowing things, is that God can pour his graces in me. That is the goal of faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that is power of God, so action of God, for the salvation of those who believe. I mean, faith is for recognizing that he is the giver, and all is a gift, and I cannot boast in anything. That reason, faith and humility are totally connected. Because a person who is in faith understands not only that I cannot do nothing by myself, but at the same time understand that without him, I can do nothing. And that is what is humility. I read the Ephesians text so you understand that. They have this, at least St. Paul had these things very clear. Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. It's an amazing text of how the whole thing is a gift of God and nobody can boast in anything. Well, I begin at the beginning in verse 1. So we understand the context of what he's talking. Ephesians 2, 1. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead what means? Spiritually dead. Broken the relationship with God, because that is transgressions and sins, in which you once lived following the age of this world, so the mind of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes, the desires of the flesh, and the impulses, and we were by nature children of wrath. So we were separated from God because we were hating God, because our desires. You can understand, a person who is in these desires is in the desires of the flesh when they are not in God. And now what happened? That is an animosity, is a hostility, is a kind of interior hatred to God. because I want to follow my desires, but not in God and for God. I want to follow them for me and for me. And now this is St. Paul in all his letters talk about this problem of the heart hatred to God. It's Jesus who says that. I mean, you cannot serve two masters because you will love one and hate the other. You will serve one and disdain the other. When you are not loving God and the union with him, and when we, in some way, we hate him. Because it's contrary to what I want to do, to my desires that are selfish. That is what he's saying again here. In Colossians, it's the same. It's in all his letters, in some moment, appear this idea that are our desires who put us in enmity with God. In Romans 1:14, the same thing. But God, and here is the point of where we are coming, even these things are like that, and we were there before, now the things have changed. Why? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, or when we were in sins, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So it's a gift of God. It's not that you are good. It's not that you are doing now things different. No. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his and his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved. You can translate grace by mercy. In fact, in the encyclical of John Paul II, talk about that. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you. It is a gift of God. It is not from your works, so no one may boast. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. I mean, it's a text that is amazing because what he's talking is all is a gift of God. And he has come in his mercy. When we were sinners, the Father, rich in mercy, gave his Son, being sinners, to die for us. And that is the way God works in our hearts, in that awareness of the love he has for us, being sinners. And being as we are with the defects that we have, that we are not making big sins. Yes, I understand that we are not making big sins. But what is happening in my heart? What is my kindness, my patience, my humility, my compassion for others? What is in reality inside my heart the desire of serving the others, the things that are truly love? Or what is happening in my heart? And these things that are in my heart, contrary to love, is the same. It's no problem. It's not for making me guilty, because I think that there is a kind of a tendency to cover up these things. And these things are your power before God. These things are my power before my God. What? My weakness, my poverty. As for the leper, was his leper? As for the blind, was his blindness? As for the one who... What was the power of people before God? Their weakness, their sickness. He has come. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And all the gospel is a revelation of that mercy of God that is wanting to be poured in us. How? As grace, as a gift. No reason. But for that we need faith. That is the reason we need faith. I don't need faith for doing right things. I am a good man. I am doing the law of God. I am a person who is right. For that, you don't need faith. You need faith for understanding that somebody loves you when you are weak, when you are poor, and when you are a sinner. And love you with a greater love. And that is a big mystery. So, we try to open to that mystery in our lives. I will give you two papers. One is the Meditation of the Mercy of God. You have here on the back... the quotes of Jean Paul II, I mean, read them, they are really amazing. The next day we will begin with them so we understand that it is all about that mercy of God. And how we open to that mercy. Because we have a tendency that I see in the confessionary that people, when they sin, they give up prayer, or they give up their spiritual life, or they are discouraged. I mean, when you sin, he loves you more. Open more to him. I mean, don't work in the psychological level. Work in the spiritual level. Because God died for you. He has a special love when you come now to him, as the father of the prodigal son has a special love for the son who has gone, no? I mean, it's true. The father was in some way with a greater love for the son who has gone away from the house of the father. But in the psychological level, we cannot get this. It's impossible. Only in faith we can understand that somebody loves me more when I am weak. This is a paper of Saint-Claude de la Colombière. That is an amazing guy. You have the opportunity of reading his writings about the mercy of God and how he was living of the mercy of God. I mean, I only read the beginning prayer that is here from him. Lord, I am in this world to show your mercy to others. Other people will glorify you by making visible the power of your grace by their fidelity and constancy to you. For my part, I will glorify you by making known how good you are to sinners, that your mercy is boundless, and that no sinner, no matter how great his offenses are, should have reason to despair of pardon. If I have grievously offended you, my Redeemer, let me not offend you even more by thinking that you are not kind enough to pardon me. This happened to a lot of people I see in confessionary, that a lot of people are now like discouraged and they are giving up their prayer life because, I mean, God loves you more, so open more to him. And this is a prayer also of him, for me, what has been, I know it by heart. So imagine the power of this prayer in my life. I'm the biggest sinner here, of course, without doubt. but probably the one who knows better the mercy of God. You know it. It's a beautiful prayer about that mercy. And never discouraging. You pray this prayer, you will never be discouraged. I, when some time I feel some kind of discouragement, I begin in the depth of my heart to pray this prayer, and I assure you, it's transforming. It's a powerful prayer of hope and trust in God without leaning nothing in you and all in him. And not expecting something, expecting everything from God. That is what is Christian hope. I mean, it's a prayer of hope, of course, or trust. So we finish praying to Mary in this day of Our Lady of Guadalupe to help us.
Can we get a copy for Donna?
Yes, of course, what you want.
For Donna.
Yes. We pray to her, asking her to help us. Mother of Mercy, we call her, refuge of sinners. Twice in her Magnificat, proclaim the mercy of God. This is the only word, the attribute of God, that appeared twice in the Magnificat of Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a good week.